ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड गजेंद्रास प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। नमो नमस्ते किल कारणाय निष्कारणायाद्भुतकारणाय सर्वागमाम्नाय महार्णवाय नमो पवर्गाय परायणाय। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras, like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport: The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as the wonderful cause. He is wonderful in the sense that although there may be unlimited emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, janmadyasya yatah, he always remains complete. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. In our experience in the material world, if we have a bank balance of $1,000,000, as we withdraw money from the bank, the balance gradually diminishes until it becomes nil. However, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is so complete that although innumerable personalities of Godhead expand from him, he remains the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Therefore, he is the wonderful cause. Govindam adipurusham tamakam bhajami. Ishvara paramakrishna sachidananda vigraha anadiradir govinda sarvakarana karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Even in this material world, we can understand that the sun has existed for millions of years and has given off heat and light since its creation. Yet the sun still retains its power and never changes. What then is to be said of the supreme cause, Param Brahma, Krishna? Everything emanates from him perpetually. Yet he maintains his original form, Satchitananda Vigraha. Krishna personally says in Bhagavad Gita, Mattas Sarvam Pravartate. Everything emanates from me. Everything emanates from Krishna eternally. Yet he is the same Krishna and does not change. Therefore, he is the shelter of all transcendentalists who are eager to get free from material bondage. Everyone must take shelter of Krishna. It is therefore advised, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Param Brahma, the Supreme Lord, and Param Dhamma, the Supreme Repose, is Krishna. Therefore, anyone who desires anything, whether he be a karmi, a jnani, or a yogi, should try to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead very seriously, and all of his desires will be fulfilled. The Lord says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stadaiva bhajamyaham. As the living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Even the karmi who wants everything for his enjoyment can get it from Krishna. For Krishna, supplying what he wants is not at all difficult. Actually, however, one should worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the sake of getting liberation. Vedeshya sarvair aham eva vedya. By studying the Vedic literature, one should understand Krishna. As confirmed here, sarva gamamnaya maharnavaya. He is the ocean and all Vedic knowledge flows toward him. Therefore, intelligent transcendentalists take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. This is the ultimate goal. Namo namaste kilakaranaya nishkaranaya adbhutakaranaya sarva gamamnaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya. So in this series of verses, we are continuing with the Gajendra's prayers of surrender. So in this particular prayer, Gajendra is glorifying. He says, Namo Namaste Akila Karanaya. He says that you are the cause of everything. You are the cause of all causes. So when a person understands that, oh, God is the source of everything, then immediately one will get the question, who is the source of God? So immediately, so that is why Gajendra is saying, Nishkaranaya. But although you are the cause of all causes, but you do not have any cause. So because you are the cause of all causes and you do not have any cause, and although you are the cause of all causes and so many universes, so many complete units emanate from you, but still you remain complete. So because of that, Gajendra is saying that is why you are the wonderful cause of everything. Adbhuta Karanaya. And then he says, Sarva Gamamnaya Maharnavaya. You are the source of all the Vedic knowledge. And you are the source of the parampara system. Sarva gamamnaya maharnavaya. Namo apavargaya parayanaya. So, apavarga means liberation. Namo apavargaya. You are the one who can give deliverance or liberation for all living entities. Because only you can give liberation for all living entities, that is why you are the shelter of all transcendentalists. Parayanaya. So let us first try to understand this first two lines in the verse in which Gajendra is saying, Adbhuta Karanaya, you are the wonderful cause of everything. So Prabhupada quotes in the purport, the first, he quotes the invocation mantra from the Isopanishad. It says, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The absolute truth is complete and perfect. And so many complete, whatever emanations which emanate from the absolute truth, they are also complete and perfect. And although so many complete units emanate from the absolute truth, he remains the complete, he still remains complete. So first let us try to understand how the emanations which emanate from the Supreme Lord, the universe which emanate from the Supreme Lord is complete in itself. So there are so many examples, but one particular point which usually people think is that people think of this problem of overpopulation. They say that so the population is increasing, the resources are decreasing, so there is overpopulation, and because of that there is poverty and scarcity all over the world. So many times people complain that why Lord has created such a creation that there is not enough resources for the whole population. So population is, they talk about the problem of overpopulation. So in this regard, Prabhupada addresses this point of overpopulation in one particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the third canto, when Uddhava remembers the activities of Lord Krishna, he says that he is recollecting this particular incident, that after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, after the battle of Kurukshetra was over, Krishna said that now, since the battle of Kurukshetra is over, all the demoniac people in the whole planet Earth, they were all killed by Bhishma, they were all killed by Arjuna, Bhima, and other Pandavas. So the burden of Earth is over. Burden of Earth has been removed by this war. But then Lord Krishna says, but what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden. So when a person reads this particular verse, one may think that Krishna is actually talking about the problem of overpopulation. Because Krishna is saying that now after the battle of Kurukshetra is over, okay, the lot of burden from the earth has been removed. 64 crore people have been removed. So Krishna is saying, okay, so lot of burden has been removed. But then Krishna is saying that, again he is saying that, but then what about the burden of the Yadu dynasty? So who will remove that burden? So one may think, oh, Krishna is also saying that there is a problem of overpopulation. So Prabhupada actually gives a detailed purport clarifying how actually Krishna does not talk about the problem of overpopulation. So first of all, Prabhupada says that people say there is overpopulation, but then if we see the mountains and oceans, they contain many times greater living entities than the human beings. The aquatics and the different living beings which live in the mountains and oceans, they are much, much greater than the amount of human beings who live in the planet Earth. And the next point is, people say that there is overpopulation of human beings. But then if somebody takes a census of all the living entities in the planet, the number of human beings will not even be 5% of the number of living entities in the planet Earth. Because there are so many living entities in the oceans and mountains and forests. So number of human beings will not even be 5% of the total number of living entities. And then another argument which people say is, okay, you say, okay, only 5% of human beings, 5% of only living entities are there, that is human being. But then the number of human beings are increasing. So what about the rate of increase of the human beings? At least they are increasing. But then, okay, human beings are increasing, but you must also know that even the other living entities are also increasing. Their birth rate is also increasing. But the point is, the birth rate of other living entities is actually much, much greater than the birth rate of human beings. In fact, birth rate of human beings, like human beings, they hardly produce one or two children, especially in Kali Yuga. Of course, in the few decades back, like in a family, there will be like 6 or 7 children, like that. You see your grandfather, grandfather. So, but actually the birth rate of human beings, they hardly produce one or two children. But then if you take the animals, there are so many animals which produce like 10, 20, and they reproduce more often than human beings. So, this argument that birth rate of human beings is increasing is not valid, because there are so many other living beings are also, they are also increasing, but we don't find any problem of overpopulation in the case of other human beings. So, that means, Lord has provided sufficient resources for the enjoyment of all the living beings. So, the problem is not the overpopulation, but actually the population of which is demoniac in nature. So the earth may contain, the population of human beings may increase in the earth, but if the population is a good population, if the people are saintly, if their people are God conscious, then such population is a source of pleasure for Mother Earth. It is not a burden on Mother Earth. So then Prabhupada talks about two kinds of burden. So one burden is burden of beast, the other burden is burden of love. So burden of love is, the example is, like when a mother gives birth to a child, so mother and father, they have to take care of the child. It is a great effort. It needs so much of tolerance and patience to take care of the child. But although in one sense it is a burden, but such it is a burden of love. Or Prabhupada gives the example of a burden of a young wife on a young husband, or a husband on a wife. Although to take care of the partner it may be a big burden, but then it is a burden of love. Or another example is a businessman. He may work so hard, 12 hours a day, 12 hours, 13 hours a day, but if he is getting lot of profits in the business, so he will not consider working hard as a burden. He will consider that as a burden of love, because he has attraction for money. So although he has to work, although he may perform so many austerities, so that such burden is a burden of love. So similarly, when the earth contains good population, although the population may be many billions, many hundreds and billions, but it will be a source of pleasure for Mother Earth, it will not be a source of distress for Mother Earth. So, when Krishna referred to this annihilation of the Yadu dynasty, did he refer to the annihilation of the burden of the Yadu dynasty as a burden of beast? No. Because the members of the Yadu dynasty, they have all descended from the spiritual world, or they have all descended from the higher planetary systems. They were all great devotees of the Lord. So such people, they can never be burden of beast for Mother Earth. In fact, they are actually burden, they are source of pleasure for Mother Earth. They are burden of love for Mother Earth. So when Krishna said that very soon the Yadu dynasty is going to disappear from the planet Earth, he referred to the burden of separation. So there is burden of beast and burden of love, but greater than burden of love is burden of separation. When an object which gives pleasure to us, when that object leaves us, so then one has a greater burden, that is called a burden of separation. So Krishna was saying that these members of the Yadu dynasty, they are source of pleasure for Mother Earth, but they are going to leave the planet Earth. So it is going to cause a burden of separation for Mother Earth. So it is going to cause great displeasure to Mother Earth. So Krishna referred to the burden of separation and not the burden of beast. Unlike the modern people who say that Krishna is referring to the this burden of Yadu dynasty as problem caused by overpopulation. So the point we are trying to make is that Krishna has created this creation in such a way that everything is taken care of right from the birth. The creation is perfect and complete. I think one devotee was giving the example that even it is said when the mother gives birth to a child, the mother's milk is exactly suitable so that the child can nourish. So nature has arranged in such a way that mother's milk is exactly suitable for the child. So Krishna's creation is perfect and complete. So the burden of overpopulation, people say that there's so much of scarcity, so much of poverty in the world. So there is an interesting statistic that in the United Nations, in the United States of America, they came up with a statistic. They said that if you want to remove the poverty of the world, one needs only $13 billion. But then they found out that the amount of money which America and Europe spend on cosmetic industry is actually $13 billion. So it is actually very easy to remove the poverty of the world by spending $13 billion, because you are already spending that amount in cosmetic industry, which is based on the fact that you are the body and not the spirit soul. So real poverty is, we have to remove the poverty of the soul. We have to remove this ignorance within the heart, because of that we identify ourselves as the body and not the spirit soul. So the next point is, Krishna's creation is complete and perfect. And although so many complete units emanate from the Supreme Lord, still He remains complete. So this principle is wonderfully described in one particular verse in the first canto. So when Krishna was entering Dwaraka, it is described, Nityam nirikshamananam yadapi dwarakau kasam na vitrupyanti hidrisha shriyo damangam achyutam. This verse describes about Krishna's beauty. That in this it is said that although the residents of Dwaraka, although the ladies of Dwaraka, they were accustomed to seeing Krishna every day, but then they were never satiated by seeing the form of the Lord, because Krishna's form is a reservoir of all beauty. So normally when a person sees a beautiful person, so after some time, like, one gets bored with that person. He wants some other beautiful man or woman. So one gets bored, because usually beauty deteriorates. But in the case of Krishna, it is described, Nityam nirikshamananam. Although they were accustomed to seeing the form of the Lord every day, but they were never satiated by seeing the form of the Lord. Why? Because Krishna's form is a reservoir of all beauties. So the word used is Achyuta, the infallible Lord. So living entities are fallible. So their body actually deteriorates. It grows, takes birth, and then grows for some time, then stays for some time, and produces byproducts, and then deteriorates, and finally it dies. But Krishna's form is actually, Krishna's beauty is the reservoir of all beauties. So at every moment Krishna manifests newer and newer beauties. So because of that, nobody feels tired by seeing Krishna's beauty. So although he is the source of all beauties, he remains complete. So nobody feels satiated. So this beauty of the Lord is described again in one particular verse, the third canto. Here the beauty of a Lord is compared to a mountain. Like when the new year, before the new year comes, different banks and companies, they produce calendars. So So in the calendars, they put different attractive features. But invariably, like most of the people, in the calendars they put the pictures they put is they put some nice scenery, nice mountains and waterfalls, because they are actually very attractive. Even like when people get tired of their work, they go to some places where there is some nice scenery, some Lonavala, or where there are some nice mountains. So people like nice mountains. So similarly, Maitreya Rishi also compares the beauty of the Garbhodakshay Vishnu to a mountain. So mountain, we usually have information of only mountain which contains like green mountain, which contains trees or some stones, etc. But this mountain is a coral mountain. Lord's beauty is compared with a coral mountain. Preksham Kshipantam Haritapaladre. It is described that the beauty of the Lord, it marked the beauty of the coral mountain. And this coral mountain is decorated, is having gold in its summit. But the beauty of the Lord who is decorated with helmets and nice jewels, he actually marked the beauty of the coral mountain which has helmet in his summit. And the coral mountain is decorated, is beautified by the evening sky. Like the sunset is like very beautiful to look at. Remember that we went for South India Yatra. The devotees eagerly went to Kanyakumari to see the sunset. But ultimately they were disappointed. So sunset is very beautiful to look at. And especially the coral mountain, when it is decorated by the evening sky, it is even more beautiful to look at. But the beauty of the Lord who is decorated with yellow clothing, Pitambar Vastra, his beauty actually marked the beauty of the coral mountain who is decorated by the evening sky. In this way, the Lord's beauty is described. And another point is, okay, Lord is complete, although so many complete units emanate from him, he still remains complete. But even there also incompleteness also exists in the Supreme Lord. Although everything emanates from the Supreme Lord, and there is also incompleteness in the Lord. Because in this world we see incompleteness. Nobody is satisfied, although he has so many resources. A person feels incomplete if he is not connected to the Lord. So that incompleteness also must have a source in the Lord. So this incompleteness in the Lord, that is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in different verses. So in one particular verse it is described, Natosmyakam Twacharanam Sami Yusham Bhavachidam Swastyayanam Sumangalam. Lord Brahma is saying, therefore my conclusion is that one should surrender unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And such surrender will actually remove all the miseries of material existence. Bhavachidam. Such surrender is all auspiciousness. Such surrender is all will produce all auspiciousness, and it will give all happiness. Swastyayanam sumangalam. And what is the nature of that happiness? That nature of the happiness, Lord Brahma says, that even Lord Vishnu cannot estimate the limits of such happiness. Just like the sky cannot estimate its own limits. So even Lord cannot estimate of the spiritual happiness. So one may wonder, if Lord cannot estimate the spiritual happiness, what kind of Lord is he? If he cannot do something, then how can he be called God? So Prabhupada says, Lord can definitely measure the spiritual happiness, but then the spiritual happiness grows, it increases. Then again he measures the spiritual happiness, and again the spiritual happiness increases. Again he measures, again it increases. So there is a competition between measurement and increment for ad infinitum. This competition goes on for eternity. So in this way, the spiritual happiness, it increases for eternity. So this incompleteness in the Supreme Lord is actually transcendental, unlike what we see in the material world. So that is the nature of spiritual happiness, is that usually when a person actually does some particular service in the material world, after some time one feels satiated, one feels bored. But actually, devotional service, when it is done properly, one will want to increase more and more service. Again, this principle is described in the third canto, in the ninth chapter. After Lord Brahma offers praise to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, in one beautiful verse, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu says, Nana karma vitanena praja bhakvi sisrikshatah. He says, O Brahma, because you have desired to increase the population of the universe, because you have desired to increase the living entities, you must know that you shall never be deprived in this matter, because my causeless mercy upon you will increase. So usually people, we say that when you take one step towards God, God will take 100 steps towards you, or many steps towards you. So this is a verse which actually tells this particular point. In this verse, Lord Vishnu is saying, because you have desire to increase my service, don't worry that you will become fried out, or you will not be able to do the service. You must be assured that my mercy upon you will also increase. So in here we can understand the point, not only the Lord is incomplete, Lord is complete in the sense that even incomplete exists in the Supreme Lord, but the nature of service to the Supreme Lord, that also expands when a person executes devotional service in the proper attitude. He will actually want to increase more and more service. And when a person desires to increase more service, Lord also reciprocates by giving his mercy more and more, so that the devotee will actually get more capacity to do that service. I don't have practical realizations of that, but it is a fact that which is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, like this incompleteness in the Supreme Lord is also described in another verse. Devahuti is saying that Sattvam Brutome Jatarena Nata. How is it that the Supreme Lord, how is it that you have taken birth from my abdomen? Because you are the source of all universes. If you are the source of all universes, how is it possible that you can take birth from my abdomen? Then she herself answers the question. She says that it is not wonderful, because at the time of the dissolution of the universe, you actually take the form of a small baby and you lie on the leaf of a banyan tree and you lick your own toe. So there is this Vatapatra Shai, if you see that, the Gopal Darshan behind the side of the lift. So there is the Vatapatra Shai. Lord takes the form of a small boy and then lies in the banyan leaf and then licks his own toe. Why does he lick his own toe? Because he feels that the devotees who serve his lotus feet, they experience greater pleasure than him. So he actually licks his own toe in order to find out, in order to experience that pleasure which is experienced by the devotees. In one sense, Lord experiences incompleteness. So maybe my devotees are experiencing greater pleasure. So next one may get the question, if the service to the Supreme Lord, when a person executes a devotional service to the Supreme Lord, if it only gives unlimited happiness in such a way that a devotee wants to increase more and more service, then one may wonder, why do we not experience such pleasure when we execute devotional service? So theoretically, we understand that devotional service gives more and more pleasure, but then why do we not experience such pleasure? So in this regard, there is a very wonderful purport in the fourth canto. Prabhupada addresses this point. So Prithu Maharaj is giving his instruction to the citizens. He says, Ma jatu teja prabhavanna mahardibis titikshaya tapasa vidyaya cha de deepyamane jita devatanam kule svayad raja kula dvijanam. In this verse, Prabhupada is explaining the point that how can a person that remains steady in his devotional service? Usually we hear lot of stories of how a person comes to devotional service. There are many exciting stories which we have heard and we hear and we will continue to hear, because more and more people will take to Krishna consciousness, and the different stories by which people come to Krishna consciousness, sometimes they are really exciting. But then, although these stories we should definitely hear because they increase our faith in the process of devotional service, but it is also important to hear how can a person remain steady in the process of devotional service. Because initially when we come to devotional service, we experience certain pleasure, we experience certain excitement, but after some time we lose that initial pleasure. So why do we lose that pleasure? So Prithu Maharaj is saying in this verse, he is saying that Ma jatu teja prabhavanna mahardevis titikshaya tapasa vidyayacha. He says the great Brahmanas and the great Vaishnavas, they are all great personalities. They are so dear to the Lord because of their wonderful Vaishnava qualities, their tolerance, titikshaya, austerity, and their spiritual knowledge. So he is saying they are themselves glorified. They do not need to be glorified by others because they have such wonderful qualities. They are surrendered to the Supreme Lord, so they are the greatest people. So the royal dynasty or people in general, they should never offend these devotees. They should never exhibit their powers upon these devotees of the Supreme Lord. So Prithu Maharaj is saying that one should never offend the devotees of the Lord. So Prabhupada is telling the point that Prithu Maharaj not only tells about the importance of devotional service, which he described in the previous verse, but Prithu Maharaj is also telling how to remain steady in the process of devotional service. So in order to remain steady in the process of devotional service, there are no stories. There is only one principle which we have to follow. That is not to commit offenses. Especially, one should not offend the devotees of the Lord. So because when a person commits offenses, so then we do not experience the same pleasure which we experience in the beginning. In fact, Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, he says, when he talks about the five most potent forms of devotional service, he says, these five most potent forms of devotional service are so powerful, if a person has even slight faith in this process of devotional service, or if a person has slight relation with these five most potent of devotional service, he can immediately attain the stage of bhava, provided he does not commit offenses, or provided he is not offensive in nature. So, once Gaurang Prabhu was giving the example, what is the difference between sin and offense? Sin means, sin is compared to dhuli lepa. Suppose, if there is a place which is filled with a lot of dust, So that dust can be removed by cleaning the place, by brooming or with a cloth. But offense is compared to Vajralepa. Vajralepa means the mark of a thunderbolt. Or the marks in the stone, they cannot be removed because they are actually, those impressions are long lasting. So similarly, sin can be removed easily, but offense, those impressions are long lasting. Like in the case of Ajamil, although he committed so many sinful activities, but he did not commit any offense. So simply by chanting the holy names, all the sins were immediately removed and he got love of God. But Daksha Prajapati, although he performed all the duties perfectly, but he actually committed offense to Narada Muni and then previously before that Lord Shiva. So those impressions were long lasting. So what is the actually root cause of offense? The root cause of offense is to take matter to be spirit or spirit to be matter. To give more importance to matter instead of spirit. Like this principle is very nicely described in one particular verse, the fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj, when he meets the four Kumaras, he actually glorifies the four Kumaras in one particular verse. He says, Swagatam vo dvijasreshta yad vratani mumukshava charanti shraddaya diva bala eva brihanticha. He says, O four Kumaras, that I welcome you, I glorify you because you have observed the vow of celibacy right from your birth. You have observed the vow of celibacy right from your birth because the four Kumaras, they did not want to, they felt that if they have a normal body, then they may actually get induced by seven different material desires and material attraction. They preferred to have the body of children, even though they were actually very old. And they actually practiced the vow of celibacy. So Prithu Maharaj appreciated the four Kumaras for observing the vow of celibacy right from their birth. But then, in one sense, observing the vow of celibacy is actually ultimately material. Whether a brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, all these positions are material. So one may ask, is it Prithu Maharaj appreciated the four Kumaras only for their being, only for them being observing the vow of celibacy? No. That is why Prithu Maharaj is addressing them also by the word dvijasreshta. Prithu Maharaj appreciated them for them being great devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport, Prithu Maharaj expressed his appreciation for them being, for them observing the vow of celibacy, but then Prithu Maharaj expressed his great appreciation for them being the devotees of the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj appreciated their material qualities, but then he gave more importance to their spiritual qualities, that is, they are devotees of the Lord. So when a person meets a devotee, we may be attracted to a devotee because of their material qualities. So they have such and such education, or they are rich people but still they are practicing devotional service, or they are speakers, or they are different material abilities are there. But then one should actually appreciate a devotee, one should definitely appreciate their material qualities, because ultimately that is also coming from Krishna. But then one's real appreciation or one's great appreciation should be for the spiritual qualities of the Lord. That is, they are devotees of the Lord. So what happens when a person appreciates a devotee more for their material qualities or for their material qualities, then some other devotee may not have those material abilities. So then we may neglect those devotees. We may disrespect those devotees because we think, those material qualities to be a success, so we appreciate only those devotees. Or when we come across some other devotee who exhibits that material quality to a greater extent, then the same devotee whom he gave respect previously, we may start neglecting. So when we respect a devotee for the spiritual qualities, so even if that devotee stops exhibiting their material qualities, then we will continue to respect them irrespective of their situation. Like for example, I just thought of this, it can be given any example. Like suppose a person practices devotional service in the brahmachari ashram. So after some time he changes his ashram, he decides to enter the grihastha ashram, but then he may continue to practice devotional service. Suppose if we respect a person because of his material position as being in the brahmachari ashram, then we may start disrespecting after he changes the ashram. But then he may continue to practice devotional service. Or it can be given any example. Somebody may be a good speaker, anything like that. So the real point is that one has to respect the devotee for the spiritual qualities more than for the material qualities. So then one will actually, this will give rise to avoiding the offenses towards the devotees. And so in one purport, in the first canto, when Krishna was entering Dwaraka, different people came to receive Lord Krishna. So the prostitutes also came to receive Lord Krishna. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport that we may not even hate prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord. So you should, if we cannot even, if we are not supposed to even hate prostitutes if they are devotees of the Lord, then what to speak of like other devotees who may not be as low as prostitutes? Suppose if we are hating a particular devotee, maybe we should ask the question, is he less than a prostitute? So if you are not supposed to hate even prostitute if they are devotees of the Lord, what to speak of others? So because they are devotees of the Lord, even if they are low, one may keep distance from them, but then one should not hate them. So finally, I just want to conclude with this particular point, that how this process of devotional service, the essence of the process of devotional service, the mood is to actually serve, whether hearing or chanting or the going to the holy place. So this particular point is nicely described in the Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. In one particular verse, Rupa Goswami says, he describes about the process of going to the holy place. He says, when a person hears about Mathura, or when a person remembers Mathura, or when a person glorifies Mathura, or when a person desires to go there, or when a person sees Mathura from a distance, or when a person visits, or when a person touches or takes shelter, or when a person serves the holy place, he will fulfill all the desires of himself. Such process will fulfill all the desires of a human being. So in this particular verse, when Jiva Goswami comments on that, he says, one will get the benefits in the increasing order. That means when a person hears about the holy place, one will get definitely benefit. When a person remembers, one will get more benefit. When a person glorifies, one will get more benefit. When a person desires to go there, more benefit. Or visits, touches the holy land. Or when a person takes shelter, more benefit. But the highest benefit one will get is when a person serves the holy place. So, like in the seventh canto, in one particular purport, Prabhupada, when he talks about the place for performing Shraddha sacrifices, he says the place where Radha Krishna deities are installed, that place is suitable for performing Shraddha sacrifice. That is as good as any other holy place. So in that purport, in the word-to-word translation, Prabhupada says, the place where Radha Krishna deities are installed, such as the centers of Krishna consciousness movement in New York, London, San Francisco, Paris, etc. So that means all these temples of ISKCON, they are also as good as holy places. So this particular verse, which Rupa Goswami talks about, this principle, this can be applied to all the temples of the Lord, all the temples of ISKCON also. So one will get the highest benefit when a person serves the holy place. So I was just thinking, like recently we had this swine flu, so the temple was closed. But the process of devotion service is so wonderful that although certain people, they had never entered the temple, they were just in the courtyard, but then they were doing different services. They may not have never entered the temple, but because they were serving the holy place, in one sense, they got the highest benefit. Although one may be within the temple, if a person does not have the mood of serving the holy place, he will definitely get benefit. But then if a person may be outside the temple, but if he had the mood of serving the holy place, he will get the highest benefit. In fact, even if a person has not come to the temple, but if he had not come to the temple in the mood of serving the temple, to protect the holy place, maybe I should not come because of the swine flu. If he had not come to the temple in the mood of serving the holy place, then even though he may not have come to the temple, that he might have got the highest benefit, because the process of devotional service is that there is no consideration of time, place or circumstance. That if a person has the mood of service, that whatever may be the situation, one can get the highest benefit. So I'll just summarize. We talked about how the creation of the Supreme Lord is perfect and complete. And although so many complete units emanate from the Supreme Lord, he remains complete and perfect. And we also talked about the service to the Supreme Lord, that also increases, because one gets unlimited happiness from the service to the Supreme Lord. We also talked about even Supreme Lord has incompleteness in his personality. And then we talked, why do we not experience that highest pleasure, unlimited pleasure when you serve the Supreme Lord, when you execute devotional service, because of offenses. And we talked about the root cause of offenses, to give more importance to matter than to spirit. And then we talked about the glory of the process of devotional service from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I will stop here. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय